right, welcome back. We continue along here today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we have in the gallery today Lauren Maul back with us. Lauren, we haven't seen you for a while. I know you've been keeping busy elsewhere.
I've been working in Nob Hill a lot these days at 611 Tranca Street, which is why I haven't been able to come here on Fridays.
Are you still doing some television work?
I still am, but Doris Gentry, second and fourth Wednesday live at 8 p.m. on Napa Valley TV Channel 28. And if I should mention, though, Mr. Smith, the guests from our last show, Donnie Robinson and Alyssa Mancheca from North Bay BMX, they asked me to MC an event tomorrow from 4:30 to 7:30. This is tomorrow, Saturday, October 5th at Kennedy Park.
Well, way to go.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, anyway, nice to have Lauren here. And it's nice now as we move into part two of DeRosa Days. And we're fortunate to have Ronnie Joe Groom with us. And Ronnie, first of all, do they call you Ronnie Joe or do they just call you Ronnie or how do they usually refer to you?
Ronnie sounds good this morning, Ira. Thanks.
Okay. Give us a little background. Where did you grow up and what area?
You know, I moved to the town of Sonoma in 1982 from Virginia, actually. Moved out here by train with my family on Amtrak.
Yeah. Where in Virginia were you?
I was born in Arlington.
Oh, but up northern.
Yeah, but we lived in kind of the northwestern part of the state, some real small rural towns, Remington, Morrisville, Louisville.
Well, Virginia's a great state. When I was in the military, I was assigned for a while at Fort Lee, Virginia. I don't know if you heard that.
I do. I was in the Army also. I've been back to D.C. a couple times, but I was back at Fort Eustis and did some training
there.
Fort Eustis.
Yeah. That was the rivalry. In fact, well, I don't want to bore our listeners about that, but Fort Lee's down by Hopewell and Petersburg and a little south of Richmond. Not far from the coast, which made it nice to go to Virginia Beach.
Absolutely.
And Williamsburg.
Virginia's for lovers, they say. Yeah.
Okay, well, what brought you to Napa?
Well, I grew up in the valley. You know, I'm actually my 30-year high school reunion. I graduated in Sonoma High in 1989.
Mm-hmm. And a dragon.
Yeah, I'm a dragon. And our 30-year reunion's coming up just next on the 19th. But, you know, I consider Napa, Sonoma, you know, these valleys are my stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, this is very much my blood. If I have a hometown, it's Sonoma, Napa. Yeah.
Now, did you get interested in art, or how did you get tied in with DeRosa?
Well, you know, I always knew of DeRosa Center, was DeRosa Preserve before, you know, for years when I was growing up. And, you know, one of my first art experiences, luckily I was, one of my best friend's mother dated a photographer, a professor from Napa Valley College when I was growing up, you know, in high school. They both exposed me to the arts pretty young and also to DeRosa. And so photography, painting and drawing and had always been sort of a mode for understanding life, understanding myself, and I took my first trip, my first formal trip to Europe through Napa Valley College in like 1991, and I went on an art renaissance history tour and photography tour with Ron Zach, who taught out there for a lot of years and has done photography all over the valley.
Did you go to in Europe?
Well, we started in Rome, then we went to Assisi, Milan, Firenze. It was a very much a transformative experience.
Right.
You know, and
when you're in
Milan,
did you go to the Santa Maria della Grazia church?
We sure did.
That's where the Last Supper is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big Duomo there, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, out of all of it, I think Assisi really touched me very much, and I was and being exposed to St. Francis.
Love the animals and the birds.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and just expanded my consciousness in so many ways.
What did you note first that stood out in your mind from DeRosa? Was there a particular exhibit or a combination or what?
I think maybe I'd have to say it was the integration of nature and art out there, and also just Renee's sort of pioneering and experimental support of artists who were experimenting also. Mm-hmm. He had a tremendous freedom. You know, he didn't have to really follow the trends of the art world.
No, he was his own.
He was able to, you know, and so even though he might not have you know, chosen artwork that was going to become the most or what was the most valuable in the market. It's just whatever interested him. And that sort of liberated approach to art and his supporter community is really what sort of fueled me and interested me.
Mm-hmm. But now that concept has shifted a bit.
At DeRosa?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think what, well, especially certainly after he passed on, mm-hmm. You know, recently, you know, we've become non-collecting, and without that piece, it changed the supporting artists now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if anything, we're more, what I saw, what attracted me when I came back to the Valleys was when they were, DeRosa became DeRosa Center for Contemporary Art. I actually was more interested, and I feel like it's more aligned with what
well,
the original
certainly
vision is.
Current, as
right.
far as that
right.
aspect.
Because in ways, you know, the way he supported the arts is he bought artists' artwork, which could keep them working and open mm-hmm. their studios, and they could hire
artists. So much to show. How yeah. do you handle, is you can't show everything.
Can't show everything at once, and so much of it now is, finally has been, you saw in, you know, professional storage at this point, you know, museum, archival level storages.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there is building a different model in Gallery 1, which is, you know, about 100 pieces from the permanent collection,
mm-hmm.
and what we've been doing over the last several years is inviting different guest curators. Another way to support artists now is to bring in different curators to come and look at the collection and look at the site and then utilize it in different ways, like what was happening when the entire idea of the preserve was really first being culminated and created.
You know, the art there is not all just in galleries, as you've got 200 and some acres
that's
there,
right.
And a lot of this is outside.
Yes, that's correct. So we have the courtyard, which has many beautiful artworks in it, and there's also the sculpture meadow.
Mm-hmm.
So you can travel to those different spots, which, you know, in the past, another shift as we become less of you know, a single collector sort of eccentric private world, you know, we've become a more community-facing event and organization. And so a big part of the work and the effort has been to make us have more access. So now mm-hmm. until October 27th, it's been this way for months now, and we'll have another season of it when we have the weather again. You have site walk weekends. So on Friday,
yeah.
Saturday, and Sunday through October 27th.
Self-guided.
Mm-hmm. And you can even walk up and down, you know, Winery Lake there and head out. Whereas before, you had to be on a tour. You had to be escorted. Mm-hmm. Now you can treat it more like a
Friday,
a
Saturday, and Sunday?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see all of those things. What about the lake there, too? Is it very functional? Does it have fish in it?
It doesn't. You know, it's you know, mainly, I think, the rights of the water, and forgive me, I don't have all the details on how that works exactly, but, you know, we take care of it, but the rights of the water, I think, is mainly used for irrigation.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You also, along that same line of the site walk weekend, have the nature hikes there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And where do they go? Just on the property or?
On the property. And so part of the, by having more access now, the northern side, so, you know, everybody knows, or maybe they don't, you know, Milliken Peak is out there in Carneros. Milliken Peak is the highest point in that region. It's just about 800 feet elevation. And the hike will take you on a slow grade. It's about 3 miles, but all the way beyond mm-hmm. the sculpture meadow, up into the hills there, mm-hmm. and all the way to the base, almost coming up onto Milliken Peak, where you can, when you're at the top of that peak, or almost just below it even, at the base, you know, you can look off a little bit northeast. You see Artesa Winery right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you
on
a clear
day.
It's
hard to see, too.
Yeah.
It blends in
yeah,
so well.
Yeah, it's totally camouflage. But you lower down, you look out back towards the bay, you can see the bridge. You can
wow.
see all the way out to the bay. It's stunning.
You know, but it's worth the hike just for that.
Absolutely.
But that's just another aspect of the program that you mm-hmm. guys have. I mean, we're going to be talking about DeRosa Days, which is the big thing. But this is part two, and so Barry covered a lot of that part. Mm-hmm. So we want to cover more as far as letting people know of the various reasons that they should go out there and get familiar with DeRosa.
Yes.
Now, the first weekend, or the first Wednesdays, I guess, in each month is a time that you want to encourage locals to come.
Absolutely. So we very much want to be a resource to our local community. And so the first Wednesdays of every month are free to the residents of Napa and Sonoma cities. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just come on down. Don't need a reservation. Just show your ID. And you can come and enjoy the galleries.
Mm-hmm. And the outdoors and...
It's not a site walk on Wednesday.
Oh, it's
so,
not, okay.
Yeah, so you will have to
That's
go
right.
on one of the...
Friday, Saturday,
Friday
and Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
We might have to have site walks all through the week, but right now, you know, that means we have to have, you know, security and attendance, and so right now we're limited to just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but... Wednesday, yeah, just come on by and you'll be able to enjoy the tour and see what's mm-hmm. happening in Gallery 1, Gallery 2.
Are you still closed on Monday and Tuesday?
Yes. So mm-hmm. we're Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 4. Then there's sometimes special events in the evening.
Oh, yeah,
and talks
that's,
and things.
It's been mm-hmm. an interesting aspect. Mm-hmm. Now, tomorrow, as far as Saturday the 5th, is a big day. Is this a first for a DeRosa Day?
We did it. We did the first iteration was in May. And
okay.
And I was actually a volunteer at that point. I hadn't had started my new position. I just started in July, but it was a success, and it was a lot of fun mm-hmm. out there. But we learned some things, and this one's going to be even better.
You're a marketing manager, so how extensive or how far out is your reach from Napa when you try to bring people in to get familiar?
I think that we consider ourselves, especially with the quality and level of the artwork that we have, that we're part of the Greater Bay Area art mm-hmm. ecosystem. You know, so I was reaching out to all the Bay Area, and you know, we actually do get a lot of guests who come over the bridge and come to visit us. And you know, we're working with Visit Napa Valley and Sonoma Visitors Bureau, and because we know we also have a lot of guests who come to our valley, and I think and anyone who's been to DeRosa mm-hmm. Center knows that it's just a gem. It's
well,
a jewel.
It's getting better known not only in California but around the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you get many from outside the U.S.?
Yes, we do have. You know, just this last weekend when the Smithsonian's Free Museum Day happened, you know, there was just. We were really surprised at how much of the world visit us that day. It was actually quite a bit. So, you know, my first goal when I came on as communications and marketing manager is to really make sure that, because I'm also very surprised at how many folks are from the Valley of sometimes go, who? You know, they actually maybe not have heard of us, you know, mm-hmm. or they drive by, you know, out there on Carneros Highway, it's two lanes and, you know, people flying past. And the signage has to be sort of, subtle in the valley, you know, but they don't like big old signs and not too flashy. So
well, they used to have the sheep out there. Did they,
yeah.
they take those away?
We took those down. Yeah, they took those down a bit. People were sad to see them go, but they were the weather, when you leave any material out there for as many years as it was out there, it was just starting to pull them into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so they now have become part of our conservation effort, and you know, who knows what the future may bring, but for now they needed some tending to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, it's alluded to as contemporary art, DeRosa Center for Contemporary
yes.
Art.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you change your exhibit?
Now the exhibitions have been changing yearly. So the two exhibitions now that are in Gallery 1 and Gallery 2 will come down on December 29th. So if folks have not had their first or second or third opportunity to come see the shows, you know, now's the time. It's starting to be crunch time. And then those will come down, and we have some exciting things I can't reveal too much about today, but 2020 is already coming together, and both Gallery 1 and Gallery 2 will transform again.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, the details that I know of, I can tell you that it's some of the legacy, you know, of DeRosa, some of our Bay Area kind of stars,
mm-hmm.
you know, but also some new figures that are going to do some very exciting
wow.
things. Yeah.
How many people are involved there on a daily basis working at DeRosa?
We're kind of a legacy startup. You know, we're not a huge crew out there, but I think we're about we're around 20 folks from the grounds. And all the way up to, you know, senior staff and executive, you know, it's not mm-hmm. it's not a very big crew.
How is all this financed then?
The main part of the financing comes from the endowment. that was left behind. But of course, what it takes is the community. We count on philanthropy, we count on membership, we count on people's individual donations to keep us going.
Most of what we remember before was from Rene himself. He and his wife had collected
Veronica.
Had collected the items. But now with your contemporary art theme, you get these people from, I guess, all around the world that would be contributing.
We can't. We still focus on Northern California.
Okay.
And we still want to carry on that's part of the mission of DeRosa. But of course, we live in a very cosmopolitan community. We're part of a very dynamic art ecosystem, and everything's interdependent in that way. So we are starting to see how it connects into the rest of the world. That's kind of the exciting part, and we hope that's part of the resource that DeRosa wants to be to the community.
We're talking with Ronnie Groom and finding out about now one of the reasons he's in here to tell us about the DeRosa Days on Saturday, October the 5th.
Yeah, so from 12 till 4 p.m., you can come spend a really dynamic afternoon. And I think it's a way for us to demonstrate what the new public access brings, what the more community-facing part of our mission brings in supporting artists now. So $30 for non-members, $15 if you're a member, which is $50 to become a member at DeRosa, which would give you...
Is that an annual?
That's an annual fee. And then you are free admission after that for you plus one, and which is pretty amazing because you can come out there anytime. It's $5 for 17 and under tomorrow.
What about senior citizens?
Senior citizens, there's no special discount for this, but for a regular admission, they do receive a discount, and on membership as well.
First responders.
First responders, first off, just first responders are free all of October, which was a big thank you, we want to say. We did lose a building in the 2017 fire.
And it came close to
absolutely. You can still see some trees, some eucalyptus that were scorched by it just beyond the sculpture meadow. We lost a barn and luckily just replaceable maintenance equipment, but no artwork and no folks or animals, so that was very fortunate for us. On a better note, first responders, we just want to say thanks to them, gave them free access for October, and then Napa and Sonoma County first responders are also received 50% off on a ticket to DeRosa plus one. So it'd just be $15 for them.
Okay, what's happening during DeRosa Days activity-wise?
So we have various musical artists playing throughout the day, and those start at 12:15 and go all the way up until almost to the end at 4 o'clock in various locations. So in the courtyard, we'll have two different performances from Forrest the Band, and also for some local favorites, Royal Jelly Jive. We've got Byron Mayhew playing, who's out from here in American Canyon, but now in the city, playing out in the Sculpture Meadow. And Gerard Rivera will be in Gallery 2 doing some electronic ambient music. Food trucks in the courtyard will have food available. We have various local wineries pouring some great wine. We have Four Point Brewing Company up there pouring beer. There are art activities and table stations being provided from the Arts Council Napa Valley, as well as Nimbus Arts. They're both participating. We have face painting up in the sculpture meadow for the kids. We've got a sculptural playground, is what it's called, being constructed by Mae Jung, who's a professor out at Napa Valley College. She's building out of cardboard and other materials this really interesting playground that kids are going to be able to play through and interact with. Right now, it's being constructed. So it's happening in the now and next out there.
Okay. Well, there's so much to see with people if they haven't been out there this weekend. Certainly a good time if you miss it this weekend. Go out Wednesday through Sundays. And Ronnie Joe Groom, you've done a nice job of explaining what's happening.
I really appreciate your time today, and we hope everybody can come out. If not this weekend, we'll see you next.
Okay, DeRosa Day is this weekend, but the DeRosa Contemporary Art, the Center for Contemporary Art, is going to be around for quite some time. So take advantage of it and come on out. So let's say hello now to a guy that's been around the Napa scene and has been so involved in the community in so many ways, Paul Hicks. Paul, good morning. Nice to have you here today. And let's find out a little bit about your background before we find out about Payroll Masters.
Well, morning, Ira. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. So tell us about your background. Are you originally from Napa?
No. I'm originally from a little town called Hammondsport, New York, which is at the southern end of Keuka Lake in the Finger Lakes.
Wow, that's quite a ways from here.
It's a bit of a hike. It was a nice drive.
How'd you ever wind up in Napa?
Well, that's kind of a long story, but basically, the wine industry was very strong in upstate New York in the early 70s, 80s, and sort of got decimated by corporate takeover by Coke, of all people, Coca-Cola. So a lot of my family ended up migrating out here, and I was the last one to actually make the trek.
Wasn't that mostly bulk wine that they had there, Mogan David and some of that kind of stuff?
Well, the big one in our town was Taylor Great Western.
Okay.
So, yeah, it wasn't exactly bulk, but it wasn't exactly Napa Valley either, you know.
Okay. So were you hesitant to make that trip when you came out?
You know, at the time, it really was simple. You know, I had nothing better to do, so I basically turned left and kept going.
Well, you know, you haven't stopped going because you keep involved in the community. In fact, I remember you so active in the 2030 Club a while back, and you held various titles in there.
Yeah, it was. We did a lot of stuff. So I am a past president, past active life. I don't know much about what's going on now. I just realized they kicked me out 12 years ago. So it's been a while since I've been actually active doing that kind of stuff.
But that Halloween program they had was certainly one of the best functions in Napa, I thought.
It was a lot of fun. It created a few memories and a few nightmares. And, you know, we had a blast. We had a really good time doing that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's too bad. It was an end of an era when they decided to stop doing it.
Okay. Now, when you came out here, did you sign up right away with Payroll Masters, or was there a Payroll Masters?
Yes, there was. And I started on January 1st, 1995. So it's been 24-ish, 24 and a half years.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And actually, before you go on, I was just realizing this morning that I think it was 23 years ago or so that you and I were on my very first chamber committee, the membership development committee.
Oh, yeah. I'm still on that committee. I can't get off. Well, let me find out about Payroll Masters, when it actually started then. It was before your arrival.
Yeah. The company in its current iteration started in 1988. Mm-hmm. Started with offices in St. Helena and Fairfield. When I showed up, there were, I think, two people in St. Helena and two people in Fairfield, and we had maybe 300-ish clients between the two offices. I'm not really sure of the numbers, you know, it's been 24 years. So now we are up to around 20 employees. We have about 1,200 or so clients, mostly in Napa, Solano, and Sonoma counties. We like to try to stay, you know, pretty much local, so we get to see everybody that we do business with. Plus, I don't like driving that much farther, you know. I don't want to be driving to the city.
Where are you located then?
We're down by the Meritage. We're at 855 Bordeaux, so you know, easy to get in and out of. We've been in town for a long time. So.
All right, now let's take a focus on Payroll Masters. What is the concept?
Well, the concept is we pay people. I mean, we're a full service payroll company. We're a regional payroll company. So, like I said, we're mostly Napa, Solano, Sonoma counties, but we also have a lot of strength up in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
Mendocino counties, and we go out to Davis, Sacramento, that kind of range.
Mm-hmm.
And we do everything that you would expect a payroll company to do. We are also a payroll service bureau software development company, so we actually write the payroll software that we use and license it to other companies to run their payroll company with, which gives us a unique strength that, you know, pretty much anything anybody ever asks us for, we can do reasonably, you know.
Well, it sounds interesting. The services you provide are really far beyond what somebody might conceive of as far as a payroll operation, but you're even green certified.
We are green certified, and we've been green certified for, actually, I think, since the very beginning of the program. We actually own the building that we're in, and right from the beginning put up a 70-kilowatt solar array. So that was 15-ish years ago, which is pretty remarkable for the time, you know. And as the green program was rolled out, we signed up immediately, went through all the, you know, all the steps. And matter of fact, we just got recertified as of like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Who's president there now?
Dave Wildhagen, still president.
Yeah, yep. Long time.
Very well. He was the original guy.
Yeah. Well, let's find out a little bit about some of the services. You've talked about payroll, and we talked about certified and all. What about sick pay? People are wondering about that and about do we go paperless now, or do we still need paper for this type of payroll? And what can you update us on?
So I don't think our industry is ever going to be truly paperless. You know, we create paychecks.
Yeah.
So no matter what, people are always going to end up getting a regular pay stub. Mm-hmm. We can deliver them electronically if people would like, specifically when we're doing direct deposit for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are going to be people that are going to require a paper check regardless, and we're always going to end up having to do paper reports of some sort. Going back to the sick leave, so the sick leave law was passed a couple of years ago based on, it was loosely based on the law that was passed in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody is required to have 24 hours of sick leave, basically from the time they're hired. Now there's rules. You know, you don't have to allow them to use it until they've worked for you for 90 days. And there's some other rules. I got to say too, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a CPA. I'm not allowed to give advice. I'm not an insurance agent.
We're just wondering.
You know, I can give background and stuff, but I have to be kind of careful about what I'm talking about.
But you do partner with local employment law attorneys.
We do. We work closely, mostly with Rick Rybicki and Aura Adams.
Mm-hmm. So this
for most of the labor law stuff. But I'm definitely going to be at that labor law seminar for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that has a lot of interesting items that come up as far as the topics that they'll be discussing at that.
Oh, Rick is very thorough. It's going to be a jam-packed presentation and, you know, bring a notebook.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular, main sources, like winery sources as far as your customers?
So we are entirely agnostic. The fun part of this is the wine, you know, like everybody else, the wine industry drives everything that we do. You know, everything is supported by the wine industry, whether it's construction or healthcare or, you know, education, you name it. Everybody somehow or other is affiliated with the wine industry. Obviously, I mean, we do about 400 wineries and vineyards somewhere around there. I haven't done an actual count lately. But, you know, that's what we grew up doing in St. Helena. So we're very strong in that sector. But again, everybody needs to get paid. So it's sort of like being a funeral director. You know, we're always going to have a job. Everyone's going to get a paycheck. So eventually we're going to end up, you know, doing something for almost everybody in the valley. And as it is, we pay somewhere around 30,000 employees, give or take.
Wow.
Again, I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but I think that was where we were at somewhere mm-hmm. around last year. So, you know, it's a big footprint, and it's also kind of fun to watch how, you know, not to get into anything kind of morbid or anything, but during, you know, the fires created an entirely different economy for us in the Bay Area. Specifically the fact that contractors now are so busy that, you know, you can't even find them anymore. So contractors have been a strong focus for us. All the ancillary office back office services that you would expect for all the other different things that go into running wineries and vineyards. So, like I said, doctor's offices, accounting practices, lawyers, you know, we do pretty much every sector that you can think of, we're into.
Does Payroll Masters handle every aspect of payrolls? I mean, how does a business contact you, and then what is their responsibility to you to make sure everything goes smoothly?
Wow, that was a great question. Okay, to contact me, you can call 707-307-6112 directly, or you can call our main line at 226-1428 or 800-22, I don't even know our 800 number anymore. 963-1428, I think.
Well, you probably never call it.
So I never do. I never do. But anyway, so yes, the employer still has responsibility regardless of whether or not you're using payroll service. And we'll do whatever amount of service that a client would like us to do. So we can mm-hmm. do the whole thing, or we can do just parts of it. In general, though, we do need to process the payroll, and we will create tax checks or handle the whole thing where we impound the tax money, make tax deposits, pay the employees electronically, whatever mm-hmm. it is that the employer wants. We also offer a bunch of ancillary services. Specifically, most popular ones are timekeeping and workers' comp through our partners.
And those are constantly changing, especially workers' comp.
workers' comp is fun. So, like I said, I'm not an insurance agent. I can't get too much into it. But the way our program works through our partner called eComp, when a client processes their payroll, at some point in the middle of the night, we send the data directly to them. They then process the amount of the workers' comp premium due for that payroll and debit the employer's account automatically, which reduces some of the audit requirements that for the employers, makes cash flow work a lot better. It's just a really good program.
Another thing is not directly involved with you, but it has an overlap in just about every business, and I know you've had special training on that, and that is sexual harassment.
Pretty much everybody now is required to be trained regarding sexual harassment, and that's something that Rick will talk about more at the at his labor law update.
Yeah, that would tie right in there. I'm sure.
I think the numbers now are if you have five employees, then you're required to do sexual harassment training, and there's a whole separate section for managers and supervisors. So it is complicated. You know, it's an important topic. Mm-hmm. It needs to be discussed.
Now I notice you have drop boxes around not only Napa but other communities around this region. And what do people put in the drop boxes? They don't put cash in there.
No. It's actually backwards. So we go and deliver payrolls to the drop boxes where our clients can go and pick them up. So, for example, we have a drop box here in town at the drive-through Greens Cleaners on Jefferson, who's also a chamber member and sits on a couple of committees with me. And, you know, it's fantastic. It's a great relationship. We drop the payrolls, a whole package of them, you know, say we have 15 of them. And the clients can go in there, drop off their dry cleaning, pick up their payroll all at the same time. It's very convenient, and they have really good hours, so we really like it. And we have drop boxes in St. Helena, Healdsburg, Sonoma. They're all over the place.
All around. We're talking with Paul Hicks from Payroll Masters to learn all about what do they do and how they handle all of this money. So you actually did not come in physical contact with all of it, though.
No, everything's done electronically. Yeah. There's no cash involved. You know, we haven't seen cash in 10 years, 15 years. I mean, every once in a while, somebody will come in and try to pay their bill with cash, but we're not even really equipped to take it. So, you know, we try not to talk about that much.
Well, does Payroll Masters have any special times of the year, like for events, promotions, or things of that nature?
Yes. So we have two different events coming up. Okay. The first one is the annual North Coast Wine Industry Expo, the WIN Expo, which is December 5th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. We are going to be in booth 827. Please come and see us. We're also going to be at the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium again for the fifth or sixth year in a row. That's the largest trade show in Northern California, and it is specifically for the wine and vineyard industry. We're going to be, it's in a new place this year, so we are at the Pavilion at the Cal Expo in Sacramento, and okay. We're going to be at booth P2013. So, and we don't know exactly how that's all going to play out. In previous years, we always knew exactly where we were going to be. We could direct our clients to us. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by next year, they're going to have the changes done the Expo Center, Convention Center. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, I had a brain fog. They're in the middle of renovating that and making it much bigger. So, you know, Unified was actually putting stress on the facility. It was just getting to be too big. So, anyway, this year we're going to be at the Cal Expo. Should be interesting. It's going to definitely be a lot of people. Be a lot of fun. You know, come see us. We love seeing everybody.
It sounds like it would be a very helpful tax time of the year to have your Payroll Master contact, because you would provide the client with all the information they would need for tax purposes.
So, yeah, well, and that's true. So when we do when we're doing the full tax service, we're filing all the quarterlies. Pardon me. We're filing all the quarterlies every quarter, and then at the end of the year, we're providing a full year-end tax package. So that's W-2s, W-3s, DE-9, what am I forgetting? 940s, 941s. Yeah, these are all the things that the employer is going to need at the end of the year. So, but keep in mind that that's not the same thing as personal income taxes. So when we create the W-2s, those go to the employees for them to go do their personal income tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, can you think of some other aspects that we haven't talked about that involves Payroll Masters?
Well, there's always lots of stuff to talk about. Yeah. I mean, everything that it's hard to have a kind of generic conversation about payroll in general, because it's not something that people really know a lot about. the general consumer. So, and really when I'm having a conversation with a prospective new client or even current clients, it's very specific. It's usually something that, you know, has to deal with their company or their particular circumstances. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation. I've got, you know, I started in this industry in 1992. So I've been doing it for a very long time. As a matter of fact, this is the only thing I've ever done professionally.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to find out if they can fit into the payroll master's scheme of things, they should just call and say, hey, this is what we do. Can you help?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you can reach me again at 707-307-6112. You can reach our main line at 226-1428. And you can just hit zero and ask for anybody to come find me.
And that's payroll master's. So, Paul Hicks, thanks for coming in and enlighten us on all that's involved. It's not just a simple check. There's a lot that goes behind the scenes.
Oh, there's a ton that goes into it. And thank you, Ira. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure. You're very involved with the Chamber. I know they were happy to have you on, too. So stay right there. We'll be coming back. A lot more coming your way here today in the Napa Valley. As we continue along today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition, I'm Ira C. Smith, and we have a guest now that, he's quite the guy because he is going into the St. Helena Athletic Hall of Fame, and well-deserved indeed. His name is Fred Miller, and Fred, you go back quite a ways as far as St. Helena is concerned, and you have done so much there. So let's start out. When did your family arrive in the Napa Valley area?
Well, I was born in Napa, actually, and my dad set up his medical practice in Ukiah. Mm-hmm. And so I went to high school in Healdsburg and then to PUC and really have never left. A couple years teaching in San Francisco.
Well, you got very involved in St. Helena. Tell us about how that happened.
Well, it was a complete community event. I think Molly Chapelet was the first one that really encouraged me to get the junior tennis programs going. My brother Steve and I started a tennis shop on Solano Avenue in the early 70s, and then we moved it to St. Helena, and tennis just sort of took over.
Yeah, tennis took over in a big way, but it was not just restricted to just tennis. You also had involvement with golf.
Yes, I'm reviving the Maxwell Cup for Pacific Union College to raise money for student scholarships. Dr. Maxwell was the president up there for 14 years, and it's a very diverse campus, and Newsweek magazine rates it in the top 10 liberal arts schools in the country each year.
Hmm. Well, what is the Maxwell Cup then?
It's a golf tournament at Silverado North, where they just had the Safeway Open. And we're going to raise money for student scholarships. They're well-screened and very, very worthy. Mm-hmm. It's the 26th annual, actually, but it fell on hard times a little bit. But we're going to revive that and change mm-hmm. it.
And when does this happen?
It happens November 8th, Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming right up. We need support. MaxwellCup.com. Or you can call the alumni office at Pacific Union College.
Mm-hmm. Can you help out by
7500? Mm-hmm.
A lot of these golf events have a chance to sponsor various holes or other things. Is that a possibility too, as far as the level of sponsorship?
Absolutely, many levels of sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. So, did they contact you, or is there another person that handles that aspect?
The Alumni Development Office is sort of the headquarters, but they can certainly call me anytime, 707-486-2571.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Fred, you're going to go into the St. Helena Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, October 19th. It's going to be with the Native Sun Salt. Seems like so many of the events there in St. Helena are at that location.
Well, it's a wonderful place to have an event. It's old and it's quaint and it holds a lot of people, and it's just a nice place to have a little party.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's focus back now. When did you start the tennis program for St. Helena High?
The actual varsity tennis program was 1980, but I'd been doing summer clinics. We call ourselves the Summer Saints 4 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some at Meadowood, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donna Rutherford asked me to take over the varsity program.
Yeah. Well, you only won 11 league championships. You had six undefeated seasons there at St. Helena. Undefeated, that's tough to do these days.
We were pretty good. We had a lot of depth. That was one of our secrets. And every kid on the team played in one varsity and one league match every year. So we prided ourselves on maximum participation.
You know, there's so many things I admire about you. One of which is that you played your team straight up. By that, I mean your best player you played is number one. Your second best is number two. Whereas your opponents might shift around. They say, hey, we can't beat the number one or number two, so let's play some lesser players there. But not Fred Miller. You went right by the ladder.
Well, we took pride in our ethics and sportsmanship to play fair was more important than a banner to me, and the kids understood that. And mm-hmm. So,
did you have any individuals that we might be familiar with that played on your team, some of those good teams?
Well, Jim Gamble.
Yeah. He was our athlete of the year one time here at KVON.
Jim did a great job. He still pretends he's mad at me because I made him played Sean Marr, who is also a Grayson Avenue product, shortly after he came out of basketball practice. So he lost to Sean. He thought he could have beat him if he had had a couple more days of practice.
Well, you're not going to see Jim probably on the tennis court as much as you're going to see him on his bicycle biking around the Napa Valley these days.
I see him riding up to Anglin in the dark in the crack of the crack of dawn.
Yeah, he loves that bike.
Yeah, he does.
Well, you also started a program for the St. Helena Hospital.
Yes, sir.
And you called that Volley in the Valley. Tell us about how that concept came about.
That was a very unique tournament. I looked around. I couldn't find anything like it. It was a two-day event at Meadowood to raise money for the cardiology program. In 7 years, we raised nearly $1 million and accomplished all our objectives. It was Dr. Steve Herber, the CEO of the hospital, and Terry Neumeier that encouraged me to start it. Mm-hmm. And they said, there's only one requirement, Fred, make some money.
How much money did you make then over the years?
Almost $1 million. Some, it varies a little bit. Some people thought we were over. The entry fee for that one was $1,000. That was a little scary at first, but you got used to it after a while.
And you got to filled up the field.
We filled the field every year and had people clamoring to get in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did it in the right way. You had it set up. You had pros that were involved. You brought players in for demonstrations from the college level.
Yes, we did. Cal came up every year, and that was fun. The people that played in the tournament got to hit with them, and they took part in the contests, and it was a lot of fun. Ronnie Lott was one of our guest speakers the first year, and that was I'll never forget that. What a guy.
Yeah, you had some great speakers.
Yeah, Peanut Louie, the San Francisco tennis player. Brad Gilbert brought his book. He signed his copy of all his books. Ted Robinson. That was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was your last one, too.
That was the last one.
Yeah. So what happened to Volley in the Valley?
Well, things changed up there. We accomplished all our objectives for the cardiology program, and there's some mergers going on, and I started to wonder who I was really raising money for. So,
was it basically the foundation that was the main support for this?
Yeah, Steve Lundeen was my boss at the hospital and a great tennis player from Cal himself. And so I couldn't have really done it without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, of course, was a big help in that. But so was Meadowood.
Meadowood was very helpful. Doug King, of course, a pro out there. Wonderful food, wonderful facility, great place to have a tournament.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen without your participation and your setup, getting it started and taking it through each year.
It's a lot of time consuming, and a lot of effort, but it was all worth it. And I had a committee member on, one of my committee members was Ira Smith.
Well, you know, right now, though, I know you're focusing not on the tennis aspect, although that's a big part of your life, not only your life, but your brother, Steve, too.
Correct.
On that. You have both had outstanding backgrounds as far as what you have accomplished. And what about Steve these days? I know he was head pro over in Hawaii at a resort for a while.
He was head pro at Meadowood, and then Doug took over from Steve, and he went to Kapalua in Hawaii, and then went to Indonesia, became a businessman, and he's now back in the States taking care of my mom on her ranch.
Mm-hmm. And getting some golf in.
And playing golf every day.
Not so much tennis then.
Not so much tennis anymore.
Okay, well, since you weren't doing the Volley in the Valley, Pacific Union College says, hey, this guy has given so much to the community. His name is Fred Miller, and he would be a perfect guy to help us get this revised golf tournament back on its feet, the Maxwell Cup. So who contacted you?
The president of the college. The new president of the college, he's been there about a year and a half, Bob Cushman. Mm-hmm. He's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't say no. It's my alma mater. I graduated from there, so I know the school well.
Uh-huh. Now, is this basically for scholarships, or is it funding other things, too, there?
It's purely scholarships.
It's all for scholarships.
Yeah.
Does Pacific Union College have appeal as far as students from outside this area?
It's very diverse, very ethnically very diverse, and a lot of Orientals.
Uh-huh. So where are some of the people that you've come in contact with have come from?
That's a hard question to answer.
All over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah. Is it mainly for Adventists or not?
It's an Adventist school, but the population, the student population is probably 50-50 Adventist and non.
Well, are you still teaching as far as tennis?
Teaching 6 days a week on beautiful private estate courts.
You've got a few of those up valley there too, don't you?
Yeah, we teach on soft courts, clay courts, Aussie clay courts, quite a wide variety of surfaces.
What are some of the emphasis that you put on tennis when you're giving instructions?
Have fun. Breathe. It's an odd job I have to tell people to breathe. But, you know, be consistent. You know, think smart about your shot selection.
Mm-hmm. What about the actual physical aspect of the game?
I always play. I don't stand by my hopper of balls. I play, and we block out a lot of doubles, two-hour doubles games, and change partners and talk strategically.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do people contact you if they're interested in maybe just starting in tennis?
That same cell phone number I gave you a little earlier, 486-2571.
Is it listed as far as somebody goes into the phone book or something for Fred Miller?
No. No, it's just word of mouth.
Okay. Do you have any public courts that you work on?
No, not anymore. We did massive junior programs for many, many years, and we had four summer teams for all those years, sometimes three, and then we did ladies teams at Crane Park.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have certainly served the community well, and you continue to do so, Fred. You're going to have five others that are going into the St. Helena Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, October the 19th. Are you familiar with any of the other five?
I'm not very familiar with them, just what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Ivanoff, I knew a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go way back. This is fairly new, and I think it's kind of a sad note about one of the guys that got this rolling was Jim Hunt, and then he passed away not too long after he got that rolling.
Yeah, I emailed him one day, and he was usually so responsive and getting back to me, but not this time.
Yeah, you know, he had quite the athletic background too. Quarterbacked at Cal.
Yeah, he's the one that dug up all the stats on my tenure out at Grayson Avenue tennis courts. I would have never known. I couldn't have even told you how long I'd been out there.
Yeah. Well, how many years have they had the Athletic Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I think it's only five or so. Mm-hmm. Not sure.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly deserving to go in there, Fred. And are there other aspects that you can remember as far as either tennis, golf, or anything else related to St. Helena?
Well, Jack Oliver was the one that was the push for me to get into the Hall of Fame, so I want to thank Jack. He played. There's a picture of him in the paper of he and I when he was 5 years old. The racket was about as big as he was.
Well, you used to have a beard most of the time.
Most of the beard, and the dermatologist thinks I should grow it back, but not anymore.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming in, and good luck on this Pacific Union College, the revival of the Maxwell Cup. I hope people that are interested in golf or help to come up with scholarships. They're a very good program there, Fred.
Thank you very much. The students are well-screened and very deserving, and it's not cheap to go to school up there.
Yeah, or about any place anymore.
Anymore.
All right. Well, Fred Miller with our program here after so many championships in tennis and just continues to do things in the community. So keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Ira.